Welcome to Prophecy Today with your Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung. Our goal at Prophecy Today is to reach the world with the news that Jesus is returning soon and to encourage Christians to live a pure and productive life in light of His imminent return. Jimmy, tell us what we can expect from today's broadcast.
Jay, today on the broadcast, we conclude our study on the kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ from a temple on the Temple Mount in Jerusalem. Remember, this kingdom is not now in place. Jesus is not now seated on His throne. That throne will be on the earth after the Lord returns following the seven-year tribulation period. Then God the Father gives Jesus the Son His kingdom. That's found in Daniel chapter 7. And that's where we'll begin our study today, Daniel chapter 7.
Thank you, Jimmy. And now our Bible teacher, Dr. Jimmy DeYoung.
Go to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7. A part of the process of the kingdom being set up, the Ancient of Days, Daniel chapter 7. This is an appearance to Daniel the prophet. He writes down what is going to happen, the rule and the reign of Jesus Christ. Daniel chapter 7, verse 13. And I saw in the night visions, and behold, one like unto the Son of Man came with the clouds of heaven and came to the Ancient of Days. Now the Ancient of Days is one of the names in Daniel used for God the Father, the Son of Man, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the favorite term for Jesus the Son. Now notice what it says, verse 14. And there was given unto him dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion. I told you, it's not only 1,000 years, it's into eternity future. An everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, that which shall be not destroyed. It's forever. A kingdom is set up. This is the beginning of the reign of Jesus Christ. This was God's plan from the very outset. He put everything in place for that to happen. Do you not remember the pattern? Adam and Eve were to rule the first kingdom that Jesus set up. Isn't that interesting? At the rapture of the church, we get married to Jesus Christ. The first kingdom had the first Adam and his wife rule over it. The eternal kingdom will have the last Adam and his wife rule over it. Because I am the bride. You, we that know Christ as Savior, the bride of Christ, we're married to Jesus Christ. Chapter 19 of Revelation, verses 7, 8, and 9. We're married to Christ, and then we go into the kingdom to rule and reign like that first kingdom which was set up. We rule and reign with Him. By the way, that first kingdom, what was the place of its headquarters? Garden of Eden. And so thus, to be consistent, this kingdom will be ruled and reigned over from the Garden of Eden. The Garden of Eden? I thought the Garden of Eden was over in Iraq between the Tigris and the Euphrates River. No, who said the Garden of Eden was over in Iraq between the Tigris and the Euphrates River? Go back to Genesis. Let me show you where the Garden of Eden is. Modern-day Iraq, the location for Babylon, that kingdom that's going to be destroyed, that Antichrist rules over in the last 3.5 years of the tribulation period. Jesus is going to destroy it in 1 hour. That's certainly not the place where he's going to set up his headquarters. That's a hellhole. He's going to rule and reign from the Garden of Eden, like he established the kingdom in the beginning with the first Adam and his wife Eve. The last Adam and his wife, the church, will rule and reign. The pattern was set and the place was set in the Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden. Garden of Eden is the Temple Mount in the city of Jerusalem. It's always been, always will be. Where do you get that from, Dion? Well, for 5,772 years, the Jewish people have believed it. It's this 5772 in the Jewish calendar. You know what their New Year's Day is? Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah in Hebrew. Rosh, chief, Shana. Year, first of the year. And what do they do on Rosh Hashanah? They take up their shofars or their trumpets, they go to the Temple Mount in Jerusalem, and they blow a solemn assembly. That's Matthew 24. Remember I said when he comes back, the trumpet is sounded there in Jerusalem, calling a solemn assembly. Why to Jerusalem? Why do they blow the trumpets? Because they're in celebration of the new year. Year one, they went and started honoring the Lord at the Garden of Eden. Oh, it was shut up so Adam and Eve couldn't get into it. You know that Dome of the Rock? Underneath it is called the Foundation Stone. Foundation of what? It's the location where God created Adam and Eve. Just go ask any Jewish scholar. We Christians are Johnny-come-latelys. I don't know where in the world we got the ideas over there in Iraq, the hellhole of the world, the hellhole of the future. You know what? Let me tell you something. Not only the Jews, but the Muslims. I had an appointment to do a television interview with Sheikh Sabri. He is the Mufti of Jerusalem, highest-ranking Muslim cleric controlling the Temple Mount. His statement had been there had never been a Jew on the Temple Mount. There was never a presence of a Jew on the Temple Mount. I went over to talk to him because I knew what the Word of God said. That Temple Mount is Mount Moriah. That's where Abraham offered Isaac. Man, those were two Jewish boys. And then I remembered that King David purchased the threshing floor from Ornan the Jebusite at that same spot. And then his son Solomon built a temple there. Those were all Jewish people. And those Jews that went up to worship at that temple, they were up on the Temple Mount. And then Zerubbabel brought 50,000 Jews back after the Babylonian captivity. The first temple had been destroyed. They built a second temple. Those were all Jews. And in fact, my Savior Jesus Christ was a Jew. He was always on that Temple Mount. I walked into Sheikh Sabri, and man, I was going to jump right in his face. Then I looked up and saw his bodyguard, 6'6", 250 apiece. I changed my mind, that wasn't the proper timing. But I also became aware of the fact that, you know what he said? He said, look, Jimmy, there's never been a Jew on a Temple Mount. He said that temple, he didn't call it the Temple Mount, calls it Al-Aqsa. He said Al-Aqsa, listen to what he said. Al-Aqsa dates back to the Garden of Eden and Adam and Eve. Why do you think the Muslim Caliphate, when the Mahdi, the Muslim Messiah comes, is going to be set up at Jerusalem? Forget Mecca and Medina. They're coming to Jerusalem to set up the worldwide kingdom because they know it's the Garden of Eden. Have you got chapter 2 of the book of Genesis? Look there. Chapter 2. Everybody wants to tell me about the fact that indeed the Garden of Eden is over there between the Tigris and the Euphrates. I want you to know, I don't think the Tigris and Euphrates were very near the Garden of Eden. Look what it says. You got your Bible? Look at chapter 2. God puts Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, okay? The trees are already in there. Now look what it says in verse 10. And a river went out of Eden. That's one river. One river went out of Eden. And outside from thence it was parted and became four heads. The Tigris, Euphrates, the Pishon, and the Gihon. And so someplace outside the Garden of Eden, it wasn't in the Garden of Eden because there was only one river there. Outside the Garden of Eden, there became four rivers, Pishon, Gihon, Tigris, Euphrates. Doesn't say how far they were outside of the Garden of Eden. In fact, I don't know how far outside they were. And I would suggest you don't know how far outside they were either. Because 1,500 years after the Garden of Eden was established, there was a worldwide flood and the topography of the earth was totally changed. The Tigris and the Euphrates could have been very close. They weren't in the Garden of Eden, but they could have been close. I don't know. You don't know. Nobody knows. We don't know what it was like. But we do know. Listen, we do know. There was one of those rivers in the garden, which is still in Jerusalem. The Gihon River. Just check out 1 Kings chapter 1 sometime. David's on his deathbed. He's going to anoint Solomon as the next king of Israel. What does he do? He said, oh, my other son's trying to usurp that leadership role. He turned to his wife, go get the servant, tell the servant to go down, listen, to the Gihon and get me a pitcher of water, and I'm going to anoint King Solomon. I've got a video I'll tell you about where the archaeologist, the chief archaeologist of the city of Jerusalem, reveals the story. We go down to the Gihon. Do you know the Gihon River flowed into the Pool of Siloam? You know what the Pool of Siloam is? That's that location when Jesus put the mud in the blind man's eye, said, go there, wash it out, you'll be able to see. It was a holy water. The Gihon feeds that pool of Siloam. This archaeologist has a son who's a Navy SEAL. When they were doing the archaeological dig, it's the most extensive dig in all of the world of the beginnings of the city of Jerusalem. His son got down in the pool of Siloam. They swam up the Gihon River. They swam all the way up underneath the Dome of the Rock. And there, gushing out of the ground, the headwaters for the Gihon. That one river. The word Gihon is used 6 times in the scripture. That's that river in the Garden of Eden. The pattern is God is consistent. He will do what he did in the beginning to establish his eternal kingdom in the Garden of Eden. What does he say in Psalm 132, verses 13 and 14? I have selected Jerusalem to dwell among my people forever. What does he say in Zechariah 1:16? I will return to Jerusalem. I will build my temple because this is my city. That's the Garden of Eden. That's why the controversy. There will be a temple there. But let me close with this. Before that temple and that kingdom is set up, Satan again endeavors in this 7-year period of time to take over rule of the world. Once Satan becomes the power, he allows the Jewish people to build a temple here in Jerusalem on the Temple Mount. And what does he do? 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 4. He walks into that temple and sets himself up above God because Satan, who energizes the Antichrist, said, I will be worshiped in Jerusalem, the Garden of Eden. How close is that temple? 28,000 priests are now studying their priestly duties. Every implement has been made and is in storage. Recently, they completed the construction of the 7-branch candelabra, the menorah. They have made 4,000 harps. King David said, I want 4,000 harpists to play when the temple is up and operating. Micah and Shoshana Harari. He has made 4,000 harps. I just met with him the other day. He says, when the Messiah comes, we'll turn all of this work over to him. I heard that the Sanhedrin had been reformed, the 70 wise Jewish scholars who operate the temple. I walked into the yeshiva, which is the headquarters for teaching all these priests to do the priestly duties. The rabbi's name is Nachman Kahana. I said, Rabbi Kahana, I hear the Sanhedrin has been reformed. He said, that is correct. I said, well, how do you know that? He said, because I'm the president of the Sanhedrin. And I said, well, I heard that the priestly garments have been made. Is that correct? He said, Jimmy, my garment is hanging in my closet now, waiting for me to put it on and report to the Temple Mount to start operation. My friends, there will be a kingdom. Jesus Christ will rule and reign from that kingdom. It is not now, it will be. It's an earthly kingdom. But before that, Satan is going to try one more time. He's going to let the Jews build a temple. He's going to send the Antichrist to walk in the temple and claim to be God. That temple is ready to be rebuilt right now.
Indeed, the tribulation temple is ready to be rebuilt right now. All preparations have been made. There's only one reason that they have not started construction on the next temple. The rapture must happen first, and then the Jews will build their next temple. Next week on the broadcast, we'll begin a brand new study on Islam and the last days. This is one of my most important studies ever. Please join us next week. Right now, here's Jay to tell you how you can get your copy of this week's study.
Thank you, Jimmy. We'll definitely be looking forward to next week's study. By the way, if you're interested in purchasing your copy of this week's study, you can visit our website at prophecytoday.com or call our toll-free number at 8-PROPHECY-8. That's 877-674-3298. We trust that you have enjoyed this time in God's prophetic word and that Jimmy's teaching has been beneficial for you. Once again, to get a copy of today's broadcast, visit our website at prophecytoday.com. Remember, Jesus is coming, and it could be today. So let's keep looking up. Until...